This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Breakfast Grill and I am Tan Chen Lee. Ghana is a country in West Africa and it shares many similarities with Malaysia. Also a British colony, it gained independence in 1957 and has a population size similar to our country of 31 million people. Malaysia has had diplomatic relations with Ghana since 1967 with at least three trade agreements signed between our governments. Ms. Ama Bohema Domo, Acting High Commissioner of Ghana in Malaysia, joins me today to tell us how this trade relation can deepen and whether ties between the two countries can be strengthened further, especially on the back of the fast-changing geopolitical landscape. Good morning, Ms. Ama.
Thank you very much.
So, Malaysia and Ghana had deep trade relations when the first palm kernel seed were bought from Ghana in the 1950s. Thanks to that, our top export is palm oil. And in 2020, Malaysia exported approximately $150 million of palm oil to Ghana. On the flip side, Ghana exported approximately $115 million of cocoa beans to Malaysia. We already have at least three trade agreements. So how can we grow this trade further? Because in the scale of things, the amounts are still relatively small.
Right. Thank you very much for your question. I'm very honored to be called on your show. As you rightly said, Ghana and Malaysia have enjoyed fruitful relations over the years. We both gained independence in 1957, if I have it correctly, on 6th March and 31st August 1957. So since then, we have had very fruitful relations between the two countries, which have culminated in a number of high-level visits and also support for candidates on international organizations and trade and investment agreements. As you rightly said, there is the need to boost trade and investment between both countries. That is what we're trying to do, particularly in the course of the year. So far, there are also a number of Malaysian businesses in Ghana, and we're also hoping that from our side, we would also start a cooperation to have our companies also investing in Malaysia.
So from a government-to-government basis, has there been much dialogue in terms of trade? And where do you see possible cooperation?
Yes, there is. There has been a dialogue, but needs really to be activated. Yes, we've been having ample dialogues between both countries. I think last year when the High Commissioner, Her Excellency Kweha Sachiwa, was here, we played a courtesy call on the Undersecretary of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, where we had discussions on how to boost trade between both countries. So all these discussions are underway, and we are hoping that in the course of the year we'll have more agreements to be implemented. Yes.
Are there many Ghanaian businesses that operate in Malaysia?
No. No, regrettably no.
Why not?
Regrettably no, yes. That's why I'm saying that. We are trying to work on that, yes. And particularly over the 2 years with the COVID, with no movements, it became very difficult for us to. But I have had the opportunity of meeting a number of Malaysian companies who are interested in having investment and have invited our companies as well to participate in investment forums, trade and economic exports that are coming up in the course of the year. I've also had a number of Ghanaian companies approaching me, particularly in the agriculture sector, which is rubber production. You know that Ghana has a number of forests, and then we have abundant rubber materials. So it is expected that there will be collaboration in this sector. I am also aware that Malaysia sees Africa as a breadbasket. So we are hoping to encourage the Malaysian government to see Ghana as its breadbasket, because we have enough raw materials, enough food that needs to be processed. And as His Excellency the President has been channeling industrialization in Ghana and promoting made in Ghana, the sale of made in Ghana products abroad, we're hoping that we would have ample collaboration between with Malaysia in that regard for the products of our countries to be exhibited here.
And if I were to shift the focus to the fast-changing geopolitical landscape brought upon by the war in Ukraine, Ghana, together with Kenya and Gabon, casted votes to condemn the Russian invasions of Ukraine at the United Nations Security Council. Why did the government take such actions?
As you rightly know, Ghana is a very peaceful country. I actually do not have the authorization to make a statement on this, but I'm just going to comment that, you know, that Ghana can boast of its peaceful nature and democratic country. So, and as you are rightly aware, Ghana is a member of the Security Council, and we have constantly used our mandate to seek for global peace. Therefore, I don't think it's a condemnation as such, but we stand for the sovereignty and respect for territorial integrity. So Ghana sides actually with both countries and calls for ceasefire, respect for international and humanitarian laws, and to protect the lives and rights of the citizens. In this regard, Ghana will continuously join hands with all United Nations members and other international and regional organizations to which it belongs to call for peace amongst the two nations.
But how closely tied is Russian and Ukraine economy to Ghana?
We continue to maintain very friendly relations with both nations. Yes, that is why we are calling for peace. So we hope that both the two countries can arrive at a consensus and to call for a ceasefire and protect the lives of their citizens. So we stand by the United Nations and other member states as well to condemn the violence is not the best option. So we're hoping that peace will prevail and there will be a ceasefire.
But in terms of economy, is there a lot of trade relation between Russian, Ukraine and Ghana?
Yes, there is, but quite minimal. There is, yes.
Okay.
Yes, so, we have bilateral relations with them, trade and economic, and not so much. But we are also hoping to boost cooperation in these areas as well. So we hope that there will be peace soon between the two countries and business will go on as usual.
So can I say that the impact of Russian-Ukraine war on Ghana is actually not very big because the trade relation or in terms of the economy impact is not very big. But in terms of the sanctions that is imposed on Russia, can I also say that the same, that is not much of economic impact to Ghana?
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. Ghana values its friendship with all its friendly nations. So I wouldn't say that the sanctions are not impacting on Ghana. Definitely, like other countries, it has had a number of effects on everybody, on all countries. I mean, if there are sanctions in Russia, obviously the trade and economic will be affected. Our students and nationals were also affected. And as other countries did, we had to evacuate our nationals as well and providing them with intervention, medical accommodation, and flights as well. So definitely it had an impact like any other country.
The Russian-Ukraine war has sent oil prices to new heights. And Ghana produced and exports around 5% of GDP of crude oil. So has Ghana been able to benefit from this commodity price increase and thereby the economy of Ghana? Or is inflation the new economic risk?
Yes, yes, yes. In a way, yes, yes. But our government has tried its best to deal with this situation, the inflation and then the rise in fuel prices. Yes, particularly due to the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic, which adversely affected our economy. So the government is currently putting up measures to pushing the economy. So yes, naturally.
But in terms of the high oil prices right now, are you benefiting from this since you export 5% of GDP of oil?
Yes, somehow I would say so. I cannot delve so much into a technical issue, but I would say so, yes, yes. We are doing our best to stabilize the economy in that regard.
You are listening to The Breakfast Grill, and with me this morning is Ms. Ama Bohema Domo, Acting High Commissioner of Ghana in Malaysia. When we come back, Ghana in their fight against COVID-19 and the political scene in this West African country that has more in common with Malaysia than you think. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. We are speaking to Ms. Ama Bohema Domo, Acting High Commissioner of Ghana in Malaysia this morning. Before the break, we were discussing Ghana's trade relation with Malaysia and also its stance on the Russian-Ukraine war. Now, the vaccination rate in Ghana currently stands at around 15% for two doses, which is below the World Health Organization's target for the continent of 40%. Why and what are the key factors for such a low vaccination rate?
The vaccination is ongoing, though we might have some hitches here and there with the vaccine access, but I'm sure that the citizenry is cooperating very well in the acquisition of the vaccine doses. Yes. In addition, we have put in a lot of measures to contain the COVID-19 pandemic. As you know, since the start of the pandemic in 2020, a lot of economies were affected, and that included Ghana. We were also affected with a lot of pressure on the healthcare system, loss of jobs, loss of revenue, particularly from the hospitality industry, tourism sector. So there were a lot of interventions basically to help our people. And we also came up with a lot of measures by encouraging people to wear masks, wash their hands. There were campaigns here and there with a monthly presidential address on how to address the pandemic. And also for the economic sector, we had interventions to support the small and medium scale enterprises to help them cushion the effects of the pandemic. So yes, we have been trying, doing our best at the level of the government and with the cooperation of the citizens of Ghana to contain the pandemic as best as we could.
I'm just curious, I mean, in terms of the vaccination rate, I know that it's still ongoing, but is it because of the availability of vaccines, or is it because of the vaccine hesitancy, or is it because of the inability of government to reach the people that is stalling the vaccination rate?
I think that it probably has to do with the availability and also the hesitancy, but the government has put in enough measures to reach the people. It's just probably the hesitancy of the people. So more education will have to be done in this regard to condition the minds of people to know that the vaccine is safe to be used. And also we call on any other country as well that's willing to assist us to get more vaccines, to vaccinate our people. Ghana is in readiness for such forms of support.
Okay, let's talk about a little bit about the economy. We talked about it in reference to Russia, but the overall fiscal deficit has doubled to 15% in 2020, while public debt increased to 81% of GDP in 2020. This has put Ghana at a significant risk of debt distress, and procuring more vaccines requires heavy capital. How does the government plan to fund this?
Like I said, I would have to, you know, I cannot make a definite statement on this one. I would have to get more information on that. But I think it's under control, yes.
Okay. The pandemic has hit the Ghanaian economy hard, raising the poverty rate to 25.5% in 2020. But President Nana Akufo-Addo's government has introduced some unpopular new taxes and hiked the cost of many basic goods and services, and also has plans to execute a $200 million project to build a national cathedral. Many have taken to the streets to protest. Why has the government pushed for such policies at this time?
Yes. As you rightly said, the pandemic and the aftermath have had very adverse effect on Ghana's economy, yes, financially, yes. So the government is putting up, these are not infamous measures. The government actually considers the views and the opinions of the citizens. Yeah, so there have been a lot of intervention measures, which I believe are very positive to help boost the economy. So we are trying to encourage participation of the citizen with all these measures as well to stabilize inflation rate and also support some of the businesses that were adversely affected. So these are just interventive measures to make sure that the whole nation participates in the development process.
But building a cathedral during this time?
Yes, building a cathedral. Some of these funds are coming from donations.
Well, because this is a difficult time, right, during the pandemic and all that. So how has the government helped the people of Ghana during these difficult times? Exactly what are the measures done?
Yes, there have been a lot of measures during the COVID-19 pandemic. The government paid off several months of free water and subsidized the electricity services to public utilities consumers. We also offered soft loans to qualified micro, small and medium-sized enterprises as well. And we also partnered with a number of agencies, including NGOs, faith-based organizations, to provide free food and essentials to the poor, particularly in the cities of Accra and then Kumasi. So there have been a lot of measures to help those who were adversely affected.
So President Nana Akufo-Addo won a second term in late 2020 with only a small majority in parliament. This tightly contested vote has heightened political tensions, with people calling for the leaders to fix the country, fix the education system as well. How has the president responded to these cries?
Very calm, I would say. Very calm, very professional. Yes, Ghana is a very, you know, it might come out like that, but amongst us, it's a very peaceful country. So even though the margin is not so quiet, so wide in parliament, we're still able to come to agreement on issues. So it hasn't really affected the Fix the Country movement. Yes, we all read about it, and I believe that the people there were a number of groups as well calling for more development. And I don't think this is an issue that is peculiar to Ghana. All over Africa and other underdeveloped countries, you have the citizens calling for government to speed up the development process. So yes, the president has taken this well, and the government is always, like I said, concerned about the welfare of the citizens and the issues that have come up.
So is he doing anything specifically to address this?
Yes, that is why we are putting up measures to help boost the economy. The Ministry of Finance have come up recently with the introduction of the electronic levy, which will be to tax mobile money operators to generate, that is a 1.5% on transactions, basically, to make sure that locally, at the national level, in the country, we are able to generate some sort of a tax to support the development and to address these concerns by our citizens.
Looking at the Corruption Perception Index, Ghana has essentially remained at the same rank of 73 and with the same score of around 43 in the last 3 to 4 years, while other countries in the African region like Seychelles, Ethiopia and Angola has improved significantly. Do you think the government is doing enough in terms of the corruption aspect? And what policies or reforms do you think is needed for the government to achieve to crack down on this corruption aspect?
Yes, the government has done a lot, yes, at the level of the regulations and laws. The government has done a lot to control corruption in the country. But I think that the whole problem has to be the mindset of the people. Because if the government puts up measures, anti-corruption measures, you know, that when you're arrested, it's really punishable.
What are these measures?
I cannot mention them now. I know that you have anti-corruption laws in the country, but it has to be the mindset of the people. You know, all of us, as much as the government is trying, doing its best to control corruption. And you have the Ghana Police Force really on its toes, on people who are involved in such activities. So the laws are really working in the country. But like I said, amongst the measures that can be undertaken is educating the people and then putting the economy on the right path. Once the people are okay, I think the corruption definitely would reduce.
President Nana Akufo-Addo has been Ghana's leader since January 2017. He has an image of a progressive African leader, but I also see some press reports that some journalists and civil society activists are being hauled off to court in Ghana for uncomplimentary comments on public figures. Is there truth to this? I mean, after all, it is something that Malaysia also faced in terms of similar allegations.
Not at all. Ghana is a very free country. Very free. We have freedom of speech, and the president, His Excellency the President, is one of the most tolerant presidents you can come across. So I don't think that this is a clear picture of what is happening in Ghana. Ghana still remains a very democratic country with a respect for rights of its people.
Many Malaysians may not be familiar with Ghana and also with the people of Ghana residing in Malaysia. Could you give us a sense of the population of Ghanaians currently living in Malaysia, and how big is the population, and also are they mostly students?
Yes, most of our people here are students. Unfortunately, because of the COVID, the figures have gone down a little bit, and we are yet to have a survey of the number of students that are here. The problem that we are having here particularly has to do with the Education Malaysia, that's the EMGS, because I cannot give you a clear specific figure that this is the number, because when they come in, we are not informed, which makes it very difficult for us to identify where our citizens are. Unless there's a problem, then you hear the mission being approached that this and that has happened to a Ghanaian. But we are doing our best to reach out to people who are in the country to assist them in the best form. Yes, so there are quite a number of Ghanaians here, but most of them are here to study.
And Ghana doesn't seem to be a popular tourist destination for Malaysians yet. Is this because tourism is not set as a priority in terms of economic sector to be promoted to Malaysians?
Tourism is actually a very huge sector for Ghana. And I think this year we're doing our best as a mission to try and promote tourism between the two countries. Very soon, we have a number of initiatives in line, which is to promote Ghana as a film hub. That's also part of tourism. And then also to promote our hospitality industry. So we're here to meet with the authorities to come up with measures to boost cooperation, not just in tourism, in trade and economic and other very key sectors that can be explored between both countries. So we have the National Film Authority, Ghana's National Film Authority, approaching us to try and collaborate with the Malaysian side. So these are some of the things. And hopefully, we are hoping that we could have a Ghana Movie Week or something like that. Yes, so the Malaysians can have a feel of Ghana, and then we also can send what Malaysia has also to our Ghanaians as well. So we're really working well, I can assure you that.
On that note, thank you for your time. Today on The Breakfast Grill was Ms. Ama Bohema Domo, Acting High Commissioner of Ghana in Malaysia. I am Tan Chen Lee, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.